Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 18. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. This is the text. In last week's gospel reading, Christ explained our need to confront those who are erring in sin, and when they repent of their sin, forgive them, and you have won your brother back. Remember their sin no more. Put it out of your mind. And upon hearing this, our beloved Saint Peter asks, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? As many as 7? Now, if you would forgive someone 7 times for various or repeated things that they had done to offend you or even hurt you, but on the 8th occasion you decided enough is enough and you exact your revenge, most people would commend you for your patience. But Jesus explains to Peter that there is to be no limit to our patience and forgiveness. There's to be no limit to our patience and forgiveness because God has shown that there is no limit to His. In the parable that Jesus uses to explain this, there is a servant who owes his master 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is a monetary unit worth about 3,000 shekels, which works out to about 20 years' wages for an average worker. So this laborer owed his master 200,000 years of labor. It's an inconceivable amount of money. To put it in our terms and make the math easy, if you think of $50,000 being an average wage, this servant owed his master $10 billion. There's no way that he could possibly pay back even a fraction of what is owed. His only chance is to throw himself upon the mercy of his master, which he doesn't even do. He says, "Just be patient with me, I'll pay you back." Really? $10 billion? His master shows generosity almost beyond belief, takes pity on him, cancels his debt, and lets him go. Obviously, at a great cost to himself, as this servant has made him, exercise great cost on his own behalf. Well, you are that servant. You have been forgiven a debt that you would have no chance of ever repaying. Forgiven solely through the mercy and graciousness of our Master. Christ canceled your debt. Paid for it at a very high cost with his own blood. And now that your entire debt has been canceled, Christ says, go and do likewise. Forgive your brother. We forgive others because God first forgave us. We love others because God first loved us. You see this in Scripture. It's the model for how we are to be. And this is the way in which we can demonstrate to God that we trust in the reality of our own forgiveness, our own undeserved forgiveness, and that that forgiveness is valued and cherished. We do find it difficult to forgive others, especially when they've caused us real pain. Forgiving someone who has hurt you or hurt someone you love, to forgive them causes you to die a little bit. Our thirst for revenge has to die there are few good deaths in the world, but that is one of them. Remember what St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans. It was our epistle reading 2 weeks ago. He says, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, as individuals, we trust in the reality of our own forgiveness. We are exceedingly thankful that God covers all of our sin and does not make public all of the things that we have done. Can you imagine gathering together when everyone around you would know everything that you have done against the will of God? How uncomfortable that would be. He covers our sin and remembers our sin no more. The challenge is offering that same consideration to others and thereby demonstrating that God's forgiveness is valued. It is cherished in our lives. If someone sins against you and that sin changes your relationship with that person, I mean, we offend each other all the time, but many times it's just completely unintentional, and you know, most all the time we just let it slide, forget about it, you know, don't worry about it, no harm was meant, and we know that. We do that all the time. It allows us to have friends, because if we took great offense at every single thing that someone did, we wouldn't have any friends. But if someone sins against you and that sin changes your relationship with that person, you only have two options that are godly. You forgive, forget, move on, remember that sin no more. Or you go and speak to that person, show them their sin, call them to repentance. And as we heard in last week's gospel reading, the goal of that being winning your brother back. Well, in the parable of the unmerciful servant, which is the follow-up to that part of Matthew 18, the master calls the servant wicked because this one servant who had been forgiven this, you know, incredible debt refused to forgive his fellow servant. He didn't follow the example that was set by the master. And it's obvious that he did not view this master's gracious act as anything of value. He treated it as being cheap and unworthy of further attention. Much in the way that our world views Christ's cross and grave. The debt of sin of this world was paid for. And most people treat it as something cheap and unworthy of further attention. And in doing this, this wicked servant forfeited the forgiving word of his master. When your master canceled your debt, the expectation was that your life would change. And your debt has been canceled. It has been deleted from any record that God keeps. And that's a good thing. We hear in our epistle reading from Romans that each of us will give an account of himself to God there on Judgment Day. Jesus expands on this. He talks about in Matthew chapter 12 that he says, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Every sin, every careless word is accounted for on Judgment Day. Not only every blatant act of unrepentance, you know, violence, terrorism, murder, but every time a person carelessly says, oh my God, in a vain way, using the Lord's name, or calling upon him to damn something. You think about it, if God answered every prayer to damn something, there'd be no hammers left in the world. For those who have not had their debt of sin canceled, God has kept a record of every sin of thought, word, and deed. And that debt of sin will be presented before Christ the judge. That's why each Sunday, or Saturday evening, we come before our master and say, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And like the servant in the parable, God cancels our debt, wipes our record clean. On Judgment Day, we as God's faithful servants will have no record of our sin. That debt is canceled. Now those who view the canceling of that debt as being cheap or unworthy of further attention, they will carry that debt before Christ the judge. But for us, God remembers that sin no more. So as faithful servants, we are now commanded to not only forgive one another through our words, but as Jesus says, we are called to forgive one another in our hearts, to think differently than we did before, to put it out of our minds as if it did not happen. And as we heard from last week's gospel, you know, if you're not willing to confront someone and call them to repent of your sin, then we see here the only godly action is to forgive them in your heart, to feel no resentment for what has been done in the past, and in your mind to truly remember that sin no more. Put it out of your mind. Not only is that the only godly response, but if someone has hurt you or someone you love, and you sit and dwell on that and allow that hurt to tear you down, which is what always happens when you allow such things to fester and grow, then you are allowing that person who has done harm to continue to exercise control and manipulate you and continue to hurt you, living rent-free in your head, as the saying goes. The power of forgiveness is freedom. Not just for you being forgiven by God, which is the ultimate freedom, but you forgiving others and remembering their sin no more gives you freedom from that hurt. And besides that, the debt of sin that we owe one another, the debt of sin that someone owes to you, in no way compares to the debt of sin that God has canceled on your behalf. Forgive one another and rejoice in the forgiveness of God. Your debt has been canceled. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.